Can I have your attention, please? We'll get this program started. Good morning. My name is Don Trojak. I am one of the elders here at St. Paul. The other elders are Mark Woolley and Larry Foltz. Steve Grissom is not here. That's the fourth. On behalf of the members of St. Paul, I'd like to welcome you to the 125th anniversary celebration. It's a significant part of our history. We're happy to see all of you that are here today. It's amazing. We want to welcome everybody. Thank you for coming today. Now, Pastor Sinclair, one of our faithful pastors that's been helping us through rough times, he's going to lead us in an opening prayer. Pastor Sinclair.
This is a fun place to be. Really appreciate the people of St. Paul, and it's so good to have so many of you gathered together. The word says seed time and harvest is going to remain until he comes back again. So, Father, we thank you that you have made us a promise that the land will produce and we'll be blessed by it until you come again. So, Lord, as we gather together around food and fellowship, we thank you that your promise is to provide us the food and be right in the middle of all of it when we're fellowshipping. So come and bless the food and the fellowship and the program now that we're about to begin. In Jesus' name, amen.
We'd like to, again, welcome everybody. My name is Mark William. I'm also an elder here at St. Paul. We want to take a few minutes and try to recognize all our folks here today and make sure we know who everybody is and kind of a little bit about what your connection is with St. Paul. So if we could just kind of go table by table. If it's a family, just one person could be a spokesperson and just say who you are. Again, a little bit maybe what your connection is with St. Paul. And we'll do that. I don't think it'd take too long to do that. So anyway, I'm Mark Woolley. This is my wife, Susan, right here. We've been a part of St. Paul for going on 13 years now, I believe. Isn't that about right? Okay. Well, y'all want to start right over here and just...
Here, I'm Ed Cooper.
Thank y'all, and I hope y'all know how much we appreciated Rod Hooper. It was really a blessing having him here with us, too. Okay, would y'all?
I'm Peggy Sissenberger, and I've kind of been around for a while. Started out being married to the pastor, and he left. Anyway, I love this place.
Bob Turner, Bob and Jenny Turner. We're ex members here. And we just moved back from Arizona and decided to come visit.
Good to have y'all here.
So I'm Chuck Turner, my wife Sheila. We've been members for 38 years.
Wow.
So we recently moved from Bimington into the city. Everybody else likes to move from the city out to the country. Well, we reversed that and moved into town. But we're still going to come out here too. Well, Pulser does.
That's the city.
Glad y'all are here.
Anybody here that we haven't?
I'm Alice Calabias, and I've been a member here probably 35, 40 years. This is my granddaughter.
Good to have y'all with us.
Went to study school here.
I
Anybody, okay? Anybody over here?
Larry Folk, and I'm Carol Folk. Larry Senior since 1973. Mm-hmm. I've been here 10 years. And this is our daughter-in-law, Monica, and then granddaughter, Emma, and then our son, Brody, and Mike. Mm-hmm.
All right, yell at it.
Okay, I'm Sherry Schauffler, and I've been a member of Fed Hall for 45 years. And this is my sister, Sue. She doesn't need cigars with me. She is a lot older than me, and these are my dear friends, and they are members of Fed Hall, Larry and Debbie.
I'm Terry Sanders, son of a member of St. Paul.
Oh. Who wants to be next? We'll just go down the line there. Yeah.
Memories and stuff goes on, and stuff like that. The old church one.
Is there anybody else at that table right there?
I'm Maxine Tate. I'm the treasurer and office manager here. I'm a short timer. I've only been here 25 years. I don't know most of these old people. I just cut that one up.
What about the table right behind there? Next one. Thank you. What about Gary? You got anything you'd like to?
Yeah, my first time here, I was a guy who I was confirmed here, baptized here. I was here for 22 years, moved away from Janet, and I got married to my wife, Janet, and came back when my parents got older and the baby came later. So I would say, one thing that I'm going to
moved away, came back. It's a blessing to be back. And thank you all for coming.
Okay, who wants to be next? Down the middle here, why don't we?
My name is Lydia Phillips, and I'm a former member. Thank you all for inviting me to the community. We used to live in Eagle Lake, and I didn't know it at the time until we bought some land here and I started doing genealogy. My great-great-grandmother went to this church, and on October the 5th, my grandson was baptized here 34 years ago. Pastor Chicken Grove was baptized him. So I've been here for a while. I'm not an old timer like they are, but I've been a lot of other places too. But I have ties here and I enjoy it so much. And I live in Katy now, near Houston. But I come here every chance I get. And I appreciate that. I'm glad to see all of y'all here and I appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you. Who would like to be next? Yeah, thank you. Who would like to be next?
I'm Ken. Chief Hermes, my wife is. We're 65 years. We're just new here. We got here quick to be good.
Well, we appreciate you. We're glad you guys are here, for sure. We've had so many great pastors, and Ralph is certainly one of them that we really appreciate. Next.
I'm Eric Plotkin, and this is my brother David, and we've been around a while. We don't go to this church, but we do the laundry.
Thank y'all. We appreciate that.
Now, Dylan cannot come here. He has to go to school. He's off to
Thank you. What about right here at this? Oh, go ahead, Joni.
I'm Joni. All right. I'm Joni, and I'm with her, and I've been with Jackie since
thank you, thank you. And I'd just like to say, as just a kind of a bystander, this young man that they're talking about, to see like a whole world opened up is just amazing, and we really appreciate what you guys have done. I mean, somebody who, you know, no ability to communicate, and then somebody comes in and he can be a part of everything that goes on, and it's really amazing. All right, right here, if y'all would tell us a little.
I'm Jim. This is Mary and Sharon. We're all members of another older Wallace Church. Nikki's a former member. We're here to represent the Methodist Church for such a
thank you. Okay.
This is her life.
What's that, Glenn? Thank you. All right, one more table back there. Thank y'all. Oh, wait, there's somebody up here. Just, did you have something you'd like to?
Well, as usual, he took the floor and he just.
All right, back at the back table, Pastor Newman or anybody back there.
And the American Legion, you know, she was
thank you to you, the church, the people here in Wallace, for making us feel at home and being part of your family.
Thank you. All right. Thank you. Thank you. Okay. Go ahead. You're sure welcome. Thank you. Thank you. Is there anybody else who'd like to share anything with us? Oh, right here. Jenny, go ahead. Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else? I just mentioned Steve Trojak over here, standing up there. That's one that does so much for us, keeps all our pastors lined up and our schedule and everything running straight. And I want to recognize him. Don, do you have anything you wanted to say? No? Okay. All righty. Pastor Sinclair?
I just want to go to the south of our city. Hello, Houston. And over the years, Texas history has had some incredible presidents. He's had one of the Senate presidents there as well. But in my estimation, character, intelligence, personality, everything, none of them would shine any brighter than our president, past president, President Newman. And I really value his leadership in the district. And that's part of why. We started more missions than all the rest of the community together, part of the leadership of the family. I want to really thank you for coming to the Word of the Jews. Have a blast.
Thank you.
All right. We appreciate everybody sharing with us now, and I guess, are we going to sing a song? Is that the next thing up? If you look on your, I think you got a song sheet that has the first verse and the chorus of Great is Thy Faithfulness, and that's kind of the theme of our whole time here today, so we'll do that.
Well done. Now, Pastor Newman, our past district president, actually still in office till August 31st, would like to say a few words. Pastor Newman.
Thank you, Don, and thank you, everybody. It is sure a joy to be with you, and how heartwarming it is to hear of everyone's love for this congregation or for one another. And I'll tell you, the strength of the Texas District, and I appreciate Pastor Sinclair's kind words, but the strength of the Texas District and of the church is in the relationship of his people to one another. Whether you're a big church or a small church, it all boils down to one person loving one another in the name of Jesus and showing them how precious they are in his sight. And that opens the door for the gospel. And that's what you've been doing for all these years, and that's why this church continues to go after 125 years. And you still have that mission. It's so important for you to know that you still have that mission to connect with people in this community, connect with people in your families and one another, and to let them know that there's more to this life than all the bad news and all the darkness, but Jesus is the light of the world, and you share the hope and eternal life that they can have with him as well. I also want to let you know that as a congregation, you make a significant difference in God's kingdom. Sometimes you underestimate that, and especially in times when you feel like you're a little smaller, you wonder, well, do we make any difference? Well, your prayers, you know, you've been praying prayers for God's kingdom to reach far and wide as part of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod and part of the Texas District for all these years. In fact, about 100 years ago is when this church finally kind of landed permanently in the Missouri Synod. As you read your history, you see this kind of in and out. Back in the early days, the late 1800s and early 1900s, Lutherans were kind of finding their niche about where they belonged. And St. Paul said, well, we're just going to land permanently in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. So that's about 100 years ago. Since that time, you've been joining fellow congregations in prayer, and you give mission offerings through the Texas District that go to the district and the synod. And over that time, I want to let you know that you have, as a church, single-handedly probably started about four or five new churches just from your mission offerings over all those years. Isn't it something to know that your church gave birth to almost half a dozen other churches in the Texas District just from your offerings, your prayers, your faithful work as God's people? That's a huge thing, isn't it? That God multiplied and has multiplied your ministry. Now, over the past few years, we've seen a remarkable increase. So in the past 40 months, that's just 3.5 years, in the past 40 months in Texas, you've helped to start 50 new congregations, LCMS congregations. Isn't that amazing? 50 new congregations. Those congregations speak many different languages. 7 of them are up in the Dallas area. They were started by a pastor, a new pastor named Jaime Gonzalez. And he's recruited a whole bunch of pastors up there who've gone to seminary, and your offerings have helped support and send all these workers to the seminary. Texas sends the most students through the seminary programs. And he's recruited a whole bunch of people to become pastors and deaconesses, and they've started about 7 new Spanish-speaking congregations in the Dallas area. That's part of the 40. We have young people. Sometimes you think, do young people really want to be part of the church? Are they going to be pastors? We have these young pastors, and they're in their 20s, and they're in their 30s, and they're starting new congregations all around Texas in a lot of the cities and growing suburban areas. And I attended one in North Dallas not too long ago, and I was sitting there. I was the oldest person in the room. And sometimes I'm the youngest person in the room, you know, at Missouri Synod congregations. I was the oldest person in the room. And there are all these young couples and singles and new parents with their babies. And I thought, our people, the people of our church, would be so proud and so thankful to know that a new generation is hearing the gospel of grace alone, by faith alone, in Christ alone, faithfully through new generation Missouri Synod congregations. And it's all over. Just, as I said, 50 in the past 3.5 years. And there's great momentum in church planting. Our prayer is that by 2031, the 125th anniversary of the Texas District, so the district is younger than this church, but by that 125th anniversary, we'll see God raise up 500 new servant leaders, so church planters and evangelists, to reach 500 new communities, whether it's geographic or generational or cultural. And we're about halfway there since 2018. So in addition to all these new churches and church planters, we are training evangelists, lay people, the priesthood of all believers. We believe that in the Lutheran Church wholeheartedly. Becky Jungklaus is one of those evangelists, and she is starting to train evangelists through a deaf evangelist training. We have evangelist training in Spanish. We're developing evangelist training for retirees. We have kind of a mainstream evangelist training, and the person leading them in Texas District is a deaconess by the name of Noemi Guerra. She speaks fluent Spanish and English, and she is just a dynamo for Jesus and is helping to train new leaders, to raise up lay people, to reach people who wouldn't come to church. And we already have hundreds of lay evangelists, Lutheran lay evangelists across the district. Many of them are engaged in some sort of community ministry that's sharing the gospel with people who don't know Jesus. So you are helping to do that and support that with your prayers and with your gifts. There is a movement of the gospel taking place. But I'll tell you, it only happens founded on faithful churches like yours. Churches who know what it is to be the church. Churches who are fervent and diligent in prayer. Churches who say, we want to share our resources for the gospel. That's the strength of our Lutheran church. These new churches and new ministries depend on the ministries that are the bedrock like yours. So I'm so thankful for you, and it's so delightful to hear the stories and hear the witness of how Jesus changes hearts and lives. And I want to assure you that you are making a huge difference, a ripple of the gospel from this place all through Texas and even beyond Texas in our beloved Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. It is a joy to walk with you, and I'll tell you, I'm excited about what the future will bring for this congregation and for our district together. God is up to something really great, and I guess that's why I say wow a lot. So God bless you all. It's sure good to be with you. Happy 125th.
Thank you, Pastor Newman. Right now, we want to recognize we have at least a dozen pastors that have been helping here with the ministry while we don't have a full-time pastor. So there's 2 here. Pastor, I can't say your name. Say it. Ralph. Pastor Ralph. And Pastor Sinclair. And we want to recognize you, and we have certificates for you for our 125th. I'm not... Oh, here they are. And Pastor Ray, is not here today, but he's also going to get a certificate. And the other ones are going to be mailed to the recipients. Here's some other names. Reverend Dale Leland. Reverend Gilbert Frankie. Reverend David Cecil. And here is Reverend Dr. Raymond Spitzenberger.
I handed this to Larry because Larry was officially supposed to hand them out.
Okay.
But Maxine is very official.
Reverend John Moore. Reverend Scott Stallings. Reverend John Raddick. Reverend John Reinke. Reverend David Mum. Reverend Jerome Teichmiller. Dr. Reverend Daniel Molyneux. Reverend Wayne Schuler. Reverend Leslie Judge. Reverend Randy Ledbetter. Reverend Scott Stewart. All these people have helped us tremendously by being substitute pastors at this time, which is great. We've not been without. Pastor Sinclair and Pastor Schuler, they've been the mainstays for most part, and some of these others get worked in also. Depends on people's schedules. So, they'll all be mailed out. They'll all receive these.
Did you mention Jeffrey Hemingway? Pastor Hemingway? You can get him along with that thing.
Who?
Jeff Hemingway?
We can do that. We can do it. Okay.
So, with that, I'm going to turn over the microphone now and Cheryl Davis is going to present a lot of our church history.
Real quick, she said, too.
Real quick.
If y'all know me, real quick. I actually timed myself. I did it in 11 minutes. Now, don't know if it'll work that way now. That's right. Oh, I just want you to know there is another longer version of this, but I kind of cut to the chase. Since we're going to be doing this here, but there is one where all the pastors are listed. In 1900, a number of evangelical Lutheran families who lived in and around Wallace had agreed with each other to build a church in their area. But since they did not have the required means for this project, they decided to hold a collection. And if you know the Germans in this church that have been in the past, they don't do anything unless they have money to pay for things. Several individuals went to known Lutheran congregations and received pledges for this purpose. After a sum of money had been collected, they bought a piece of land on which the church was to be built. The goal was to build a church in the fall of 1900. They also wanted to obtain a Lutheran pastor. Now, Pastor Gogolin of Belleville heard about their concerns and activities and conferred with them, and the first service was held on July 15, 1900. From that time on, services were held every second or third week in homes. Fall came, but as you know, in 1900 in the fall, the great hurricane that destroyed Galveston hit, and our church building had to be postponed because of that storm on September 8th and 9th, and it caused nearly a total crop failure. Monies could not be collected. Up until then, the congregation had not been organized. Order needed to be established, and after meeting, a congregation was organized. And on October 28, 1900, the short constitution of the Iowa Synod was discussed and accepted. The congregation received the name St. Paul's Evangelical Lutheran Church of Wallace, Texas. There were six organizers, F. Spreen, R. Rust, and I think I know this one, because they're all abbreviated. And if you have ever looked in our church records, they're in German, and I don't read German. But I'm thinking this is Gerhard Spode, Heinrich Spode, and Gustav Wilhelm, and William Spreen. Was that your grandpa? That was William, right? Cynthia's grandpa. Wilhelm, okay. It was W.M., I figured. So in 1903, a minister was called who first served once, then twice a month. Also during this time, the erection of the church was carried out. On the first Sunday in November, the church was dedicated to the triune God. And on Jubilant Sunday, May 6th, the first confirmation took place. Five children were confirmed. They were William, Albrecht, and Erna Engelking, and Anna and Antonia Chomosky. From 1906 to 1909, the church was served by a pastor from Sealy and a vicar. Another pastor was called in 1909, who labored with much grief and worry because while still a member of the Iowa Synod, a number of members had been accepted who were lodge members. After much instruction regarding the sinfulness of the lodgery, they were instructed to either quit the lodge or Christ's true church. They chose to leave the church, and from that time forward, the church flourished. From 1916 to 1922, a new pastor was called. At first, he served with favor and goodwill. He preached regularly in Wallace and Chesterville, as well as serving the school. Then came unrest and disunity. Finally, the uncooperative members left the church and started a new congregation as a part of the Iowa Synod. As a result of World War I, the language problem also caused distress. The pastor's health caused him to resign, and after forming a parish with Chesterville in 1918, the congregation became supporting. Until then, it had been under the Mission Commission Board, like Pastor Newman was telling us about. A terrible catastrophe struck the congregation on October 7, 1916. Early in the morning, as the school opened, there was a storm, and suddenly lightning struck the church. Several children were in school. Three of them were hit by the lightning. One of them affected so seriously, she died that evening. The Ladies' Aid was established in February 1918. This organization was organized properly and in the glory of God. It is still in existence as the Lutheran Women's Missionary League. There was still unrest about the language, partly as a result of the language and partly because some former members who had joined the Iowa Synod Church who tried to have the congregation go back. Although the congregation had decided which Sundays would be in German, there was still unrest until some withdrew from membership. In January 1924, and this is important, the congregation decided to become a member of what was then called the Texas Synod. They sent a delegate to the Synod meeting in Risell, Texas in 1924, and the congregation was accepted as a member of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. And that fact right there caused me a bunch of unrest, because all they talked about in the notes that we had previously was the Synod. So I researched and found out that Risell had become a member of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod in 1906. And since we were sending Cynthia's grandpa as a delegate to that not convention, but meeting, and we were accepted as a member, that we would become. And then, sure enough, I found the Constitution in the Narthex, where we have all those special artifacts. It stated that we were a member in 1924. So that put, I got to sleep again. It really bugged me because I couldn't find it. I just wanted it. Okay, for a member of time, two missionaries served Seeley, Wallace, and Patterson. After 6 months, Wallace and Seeley became self-supporting. Patterson was served from another source. In 1933, the congregation called a pastor who accepted the call. He was ordained and installed on February 15, 1933. Now, in 1943, the use of the German language in church services was completely discontinued. Wallace and Beasley were a dual parish at that time. We had a lot of dual parishes in this congregation. And in July of 1950, an education wing was added to the existing church building. It was a wood frame structure that's now standing 5 miles north of Wallace on Highway 36 and is currently being used for worship by the Parker AME Church. So that's our old church, minus the beautiful steeple we had. When they moved the church, I don't remember what happened to the steeple, but it was removed, I guess, when they were moving it. And now, but it was a beautiful church. Also in 1950, a special 50th anniversary celebration was observed in October. The church collection bag, now on display in the church narthex, is a prized historical artifact of the church. It was replaced by offering plates on October 31, 1951. And in 1953, Wallace and Rosenberg were listed as a dual parish. Other things to note in that period was that a new Wurlitzer organ was dedicated on October 27, 1954, and the individual communion set was replaced by the common cup on January 12, 1955. After what felt like a very long time of attending church services, and many of you will remember this, and Sunday school at Wallace High School, how many of you remember that? The cold auditoriums in the winter. And it was, oh, you talk about cold. That was cold. The construction of a new church was completed on the original site, and that's what we have now. It had air conditioning and central heat. It was dedicated on December 11, 1966, with morning and afternoon services. Speakers for the two services were Reverend W.F. Bielefeld, a former pastor of the congregation, and Reverend O.C. Schreiner, a neighboring pastor from Seeley, who often served the congregation during its many vacancies. Sometime during the late 1960s, the dual parish between Rosenberg and Wallace was severed. And I'll tell you what happened. Gary, James, Cynthia Louval, and I were just too hard to get confirmed. Pastor Wuthridge passed away. And so then Pastor Jones came. And he managed to get James and James and Gary got y'all confirmed, didn't he, Pastor Jones? Well, Cynthia and I were too much because we ended up with another pastor because Rosenberg had called Pastor Jones. He was really, really good. And so Pastor Miller started serving us. So it took three pastors to get me confirmed. For a short period in the early 1970s, a dual parish with Patterson was established. And in October 1975, the 75th church anniversary was celebrated by the congregation. Reverend Robert Nager church pastor from 1933 to 1939 was the guest speaker. And Mom has a funny story she'll tell you later about it. From May 1980 through early 1989, the congregation was served by Pastor Oscar Horn. And during his service of St. Paul on February 9, 1989, he celebrated his 50th anniversary in God's ministry. Then on the first Sunday in Advent, we're going back a little bit, 1988, a little previous, a lay minister named Raymond Spitzenberger held his first service at St. Paul. In early 1989, he was officially installed as a lay pastor. In the next year, a new Allen church organ was dedicated as part of the church's 90th anniversary celebration. Now, during the 1990s, the congregation was given a duplex in Wallace. And after a period of time, the duplex was sold. This provided seed money for the planning of the expansion of the church. And during the same period of time, the congregation was bequeathed a sizable amount of money in a former member's will. And this former member was one of the five first confirmants. Along with the money from the will, the duplex, and contributions from the congregation to the building fund, this building that you're in right now with the hallway and bath restrooms became a reality. Also during this time, the congregation was also able to share in Pastor Spitzenberger's ordination. He was no longer a lay minister. He was an ordained minister. It was a lot going on. It was a great time. He was now installed at St. Paul as an ordained minister on March 19, 2000. And in the year 2000, St. Paul had a membership of 132 and was growing and expanding. On September 17, 2000, the first service enjoying the beautiful stained glass windows was held, and many of your families. If you go look, there's a plaque. And where Miss Blahuda sat, that's her family did that. And we had other people who did. But I remember Miss Blahuda sitting right there at the end of the pew, and that was her, the one she had contributed. And then a bunch of people, including myself, went together, and the big ascension stained glass window, that's also there. But there's lots telling about the life of Christ. And please go look at those plaques because you'll see the families that donated those. Well, this was a commemorative project recognizing the 100th anniversary of St. Paul Lutheran Church. Then on Sunday, October 29, 2000, St. Paul held a 100th anniversary celebration. And Reverend Gerald Kieschnick, president of the Texas District LCMS, was the guest speaker. In 2003, after almost 10 years of planning, the addition of the Education Building and Fellowship Hall became a reality, and the new facility was dedicated on Sunday, June 29, 2003. Throughout the years, St. Paul has continued to spread the Word of God through Sunday school and Vacation Bible School programs while ministering to children in Wallace and surrounding communities. In 2011, a deaf ministry was implemented to serve our deaf child in the congregation, and that's Dylan that we talked about earlier. On December 4th, 2016, the church dedicated a historical marker during the church service. Now, you talk about a long time. Robert Osborne and I worked on that a lot, and I think that was the longest planning of a historical marker in history, but we finally got it dedicated, and we were recognized as a historical site. Since we didn't have the original church here, we couldn't be a church, but we were a historical site in Texas, and it was attended by various local and county officials. After Reverend Dr. Spitzenberger's retirement in 2017, the church was served by a number of supply ministers until a call could be answered. And after 2 years, on November 9, 2019, Reverend Ernest Rod Hubert was installed at St. Paul. He served during the COVID-19 pandemic of 2020. Audio versions of the church service were prepared by Pastor Hubert at his residence and sent out by email. In-church attendance was halted from mid-March 2020 until the second Sunday in May of that year. On Mother's Day, in-church services resumed with special health precautions put into place. And being together in worship was a joyous occasion. Pastor Hubert served until his untimely death in April of 2022. In the spring of 2025, a new marquee was installed in the front of the church. As the congregation celebrates 125 years of God's grace and faithfulness on August 10, 2025, they realize how blessed they have been to have had excellent, excellent supply ministers since Pastor Rod's death. Members of St. Paul continue to participate in local and world missions while often working with other churches in the community. You know, when we go to do LWML and we talk to our friends in Coastal Bend and around, they're not as fortunate as we are. They have many Sundays where they don't have ministers, and we have not missed a Sunday since we have had vacancies. And we feel very, very blessed to have had all the supply ministers who have become part of our family. And we just really want you to know how much we appreciate that.
Ray is pretty much homebound these days. He gets out a little, but his mobility is impaired. But I can assure you that he loves you and is praying for us today. And now I'll get choked up. But it's a blessing to me to be able to still be here with this group and to play the organ on Sundays. That's a real privilege, which I don't take lightly. So Ray has written a letter. He had to think about, well, could he go in a wheelchair, and that would be awkward for him and a lot of other people, or would he do a video? Well, that terrified him. So he decided to do what he does well, and that is write to you. And he wants you to know that he loves you and he cares much about you. And what he wrote is, "Beloved in the Lord, I rejoice that the awesome triune God has made me a part of the 125 years St. Paul Lutheran Church has ministered to those living in Austin County and nearby counties. I praise God that you have not kept your light hidden these 125 years, even though your first year, 1900, came with a major hurricane. God promised, when you pass through the water, I will be with you, and he has been. Great is his faithfulness. I thank our God in heaven for that church, that beacon of hope for you and your forebears. He has used your courage, your determination, and your faithfulness to bring about much success and many blessings. And I'm so happy that Pastor Newman has recounted some of those, which we would never know if he didn't. So thank you. We celebrate God's work today through you. God blessed me with 28 years of service to one of his beautiful little rural churches, very similar to the church I grew up in. I felt at home with many of the similarities, such as the early church records in German. The congregation made their new pastor feel welcome. Some of the older ladies even spoke to me in German and made tasty dishes they knew I would like. It pleased me greatly that the Wallace congregation still used the Lutheran hymnal rather than the new hymnal. We all cherish the Red Book. In many ways, the congregation and I were very conservative and traditional, yet all of us had a sense of being open to new ways, though the new ways did not include contemporary worship services, despite what his wife chose for this morning. Coming into the church as a certified lay minister and licensed deacon and not being ordained until 2000 presented some difficulties for us, but we worked them out. And now as I look back, the difficulties seem not very important. I will always cherish my 28 years with my congregation, being blessed with a deeper Christian faith and a bond of love with them. My prayer for all of you is, continue in steadfast faith to shine your beacon through the years ahead of you with our Savior, Jesus Christ. Stay close to him in loving obedience. We walk by faith and not by sight. In Christ, Pastor Ray, Dr. whatever it is, Reverend Dr. Raymond Spitzenberger. And thank you. He really wanted to be here, but it was just not going to work. So he sends his love, and I left him this morning. He said he will be praying for us, and I'm sure he is. I put little papers, or actually Janet did, on the table with contact information. Some of you are going to take pictures. Some of you have memories, and we're starting a new scrapbook. It's kind of hiding over there behind the certificates, but that's okay. You're going to fit it. You're going to fill it for us. But anyway, it's the address of the church. If you want to write something and send it, you'll be welcome to. And if you want to send pictures that you have developed, we'd really appreciate that. And if you want to forward your pictures from your phone, I put my phone number on there. So if you would like to be part of our memories and our scrapbook, please feel free. And I would like to mention, since Becky is here, that our LWML is in the process of helping develop a grant proposal that will be submitted in the 2026 LWML convention in the district. So we're going to be applying for a grant for her ministry as deaconess to the deaf and evangelist. So we're excited about that. It's underway. Joni and Becky and I will meet with Jen Heitzhausen soon, and we'll get that together. So that's really exciting. And you're springing from this congregation as well. So, okay. And on your program, you have that this is sharing time. I feel like I'm going to make an executive decision and not let it go long because we've been sharing. I know you'll continue at your tables remembering, but Cheryl and Annie Mae, let's hear the story.
They already did a whole lot of sharing.
I know, so I don't want to go.
In the old church, the pulpit was stepped up, and so it was back. And like Dale was talking about, there was fans all along the walls. Like, there would be fans all along there. Well, anyway, Pastor Nerger was flailing his arms and doing all this stuff. Well, he knocked one of those fans down and almost took out Cynthia's mom, who was on the organ. I'm telling you. Poor Clara, she was like stunned. And I'm just going to tell one more. Mom's brothers and dad would supply wood for the old church because it had wood stove. And they'd get to church really early, and they would, Uncle Johnny and Uncle Leroy and Grandpa, and they would put wood in the wood stove so that it would be warm in the church when people got there. And in the summer, well, they also would go out. Uncle Johnny's job was to go out to the well, and he would get a bucket of water from the well and with a dipper. And this went on for a long time until one of the people at the congregation caught TB, and they decided to discontinue that drinking method. Okay.
I know we have lots of memories to share, but we also have lunch to eat. So, but I do want to, I'm going to do this for Don. You want to do it? Okay. I'd like to introduce Pastor Scott Heitzhausen from LifeBridge Community Lutheran Church in Seeley. He's our circuit visitor, and he said he didn't really have anything to say. Or he could ask. Anyway, share at your tables. I wish we could hear everybody's stories, but you want to eat, I know. Anyway, Pastor Newman, come and lead us.
All right, we're going to pray. And just to underscore how important this congregation is in our Texas district, you know, we're a family. Each member of the family is very important, and to have your circuit visitor here is really a significant thing, too. So we treasure you. We give thanks to God for you as a congregation. So let's pray and get ready to eat some good food. Gracious Lord Jesus, we do praise and thank you. You are faithful to us. Your mercies are new every morning, and this is the day that you have made. We truly rejoice and are glad in it. We thank and praise you for the sharing, the stories, the memories, and the faith foundation that you have given through this congregation. We pray that you continue to bless it in strong and wonderful ways, knowing that you do not change. The future's in your hands. We walk trusting in your faithfulness. This food is another demonstration of how you faithfully provide for us and have brought us to this very day. We thank you for the provision of this beautiful meal, the hands that have prepared it. We pray that it would strengthen us to continue serving you and shining your light all the way into the next 125 years as we forge that way ahead. Bless us now. Give us joyful fellowship in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen.